Chances are good that many, if not most of us, are going through something difficult. It could be the loss of a job, a family member who fell ill, or overwhelming loneliness in the midst of a large church body. In fact, it could be a number of struggles all at one time. Probably, early on, someone told you life as a believer was not easy. But now that things are not easy, you didn't know it then like you know it now. Life may have been difficult on many levels before, but now, oh boy, now there may be even more difficult. After all, Christians are certainly not immune from trials and tribulations. Honestly, restoration is messy. Revival is very, very messy, and life can be wildly messy. In spite of all that, I hope we can see the big picture here concerning having faith despite dark clouds. Most of us first think of this Old Testament guy when we think about trials and tribulations, but still, he's a great example. Consider Job. Right off the bat, Scripture describes him in Job 1:1 as a man named Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. God is setting the precedence about Job and all that follows after verse 1. We need to remember that God has overshadowed Job's story with the fact that he was blameless, upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. I'm sure you know the story, and if you haven't, it would do you well to read the book of Job, which is right after Esther and before Psalm. The Lord asked Satan to consider Job, who was blameless and upright. The Lord was obviously very pleased with Job. From the way I read the story, one angle was that Satan believed the reason Job lived his life for the Lord was because of what Job could get from God. Satan believed it was only a hand-level relationship, and that if God allowed all Job's stuff and family to be taken away, Job would curse God. So the Lord allowed Satan to take away his blessings. Job lost his oxen, donkeys, sheep, servants, camels, sons, daughters, and even eventually his health. Now we've got to see this, so listen. Here's a man who walked blamelessly before God, and yet the Lord allowed him to suffer. How could this be? Well, Job's supposed friends had all kinds of ideas of why this might be the case. Everything from telling him his sins had caused his misfortune, to his wife telling him he should just roll over and die. If you are in a difficult situation, let me encourage you again to read Job's story. And I don't mean just glitz over it, but take it. Roll it around in your mind and ponder upon it in order to see the Lord's real heart. Here's a couple points that I found interesting. First off, it is obvious that bad things happen to good people. It's a fact of life. In Luke 13, Jesus is addressing, again, the issue of retributive theology, meaning your well-being is directly dependent on your ability to be obedient and to get life right. And that's just not true. In verse 4, Jesus speaks of a local news story as an example. He says, "Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem?" In saying that, he was meaning, do you think they deserved to die more than others because you think that they had lots of sin, so they deserved to die? The Jews, and even many people today, seem to think if they do good, they get good, and if they do bad, they get bad, and that's retributive theology. Now, I can see where it would be sort of true in that if you hit your hand with a hammer, it will hurt. And if you don't, then it won't hurt. Or if you don't pay your electric bill, the lights will go off, and if you do pay it, they will stay on. But that's not what God is talking about here. Many seem to think that if they are well and you are not as well as they, then obviously you have more sin in your life than they do. And that's simply a lie which Jesus was addressing. I'm not saying we shouldn't avoid pain and suffering. Of course we should, by all means. However, if it can't be helped and the Lord doesn't change the situation, learn to live well where you are until He does change things. It can be helpful to accept pain and suffering when we have no choice, and that acceptance can help us get through difficult circumstances. And don't fall into the trap of thinking God could help, but He won't. What a demonic finger-pointing attitude. Secondly, notice that Job still honored the Lord despite his horrible circumstances. He didn't sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He didn't try to blame himself or everyone else for his circumstances. And while we're there, let me suggest we quit blaming God. Come on, guys, cut it out. After all, God is God, and He is our standard of what is right. The Lord is the ultimate justice and adjudicator. Who do we think we are to judge the Lord? And don't get me wrong, God doesn't shy away from a loud conversation. But we've really got to quit aiming our finger at God and saying, "Why would God do this to me?" Put your guns away, or quit blaming everyone and everything and live well where you are until such time as things change. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean you just sit back and drink your mint juleps and pray. Don't you know, friends, how hard it is to help someone that won't help themselves?